This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, time now for our Comcast Business Final Fast Stats Check. 27-20 Jags win. Here are the numbers, and we'll give them to you from the Jaguars' perspective first. 281 yards of offense, 132 from the passing attack, a season-high 149 from the Jaguars' running game, led by Maurice Jones-Drew's 27th career 100-yard game, 14 for 103. That's an average of 7.4 yards per carry, and it was spearheaded by a 48-yard run to set up the Jaguars' 24-10 lead in the third quarter. Chad Henne scrambled four times for 33. Jordan Todman carried seven times for 14. 28 rushing attempts, 149 yards, 5.3 per carry. A real solid effort against a Texans defense that is top 10 all the way around. Chad Henne was 12 of 27 for 117 yards and two touchdowns. Passer rating 81.9. A. Sanders threw a 21-yard touchdown pass to make it 24-10 and 158.3 perfect passer rating for that young man. The leading receiver, Mercedes Lewis, in terms of yards, he had two catches for 42 yards and a touchdown. Ace Sanders had three for 26 yards. Jordan Todman had a 21-yard touchdown, two for Maurice Jones-Drew, three for Mike Brown, two for Cecil Shorts for only 13 yards, but he did score the Jaguars' second touchdown to make it a 14-0 ball game. Now for the Texans. They were right about with the Jaguars until Matt Schaub came in. They finished with 406 yards of total offense, 323 from their passing attack, only 83 yards on the ground. So five straight weeks now that the Jaguars have held their opponents under 100 yards rushing. Schaub, 17 of 29 for 198 yards. He threw a touchdown and an interception to Geno Hayes that really sealed the ball game. Passer rating 76.5. Case Keenum was 16 of 29 for 159 yards, threw a touchdown and an interception, passer rating 68. Andre Johnson, he was pretty average. I think he had three or four catches until Matt Schaub came in. He finished with 13 for 154 yards and had a 27-yard long. DeAndre Hopkins had three for 76 and a 46-yarder that he caught from Matt Schaub. Garrett Graham, the tight end, 8 for 73 and a touchdown. Keyshawn Martin, 4 for 28 and a touchdown. Ben Tate, 14 for 53 yards, which means the Jaguars held him to 21 rushing attempts and 54 yards in two games this year, which is pretty good because he is a real powerful runner. From a defensive standpoint, how about this? The Jaguars had two interceptions and three sacks and gave up just one sack and didn't turn the ball over, Tony Boselli.
Well, listen, that's... You remember at the beginning of the year we were talking about how this team had a small margin of error?
Yeah.
It's still not much bigger than it was. Now they're playing harder, they're playing better, but they're playing smarter. We're not seeing the dumb penalties. Who had the dumb penalties today? The Texans, DJ Swearinger. Who had the turnovers today? In the past it was the Jaguars, it was the Texans. Smart football, opportunistic football, and then doing enough to win.
Jags 8 penalties for 57 yards. How about the Texans penalty? It reads like an Andre Johnson receiving line. 14 for 177 yards.
And two big pass interference penalties.
You bet. Texans controlled the ball for 35 minutes and 22 seconds, in large part because the Jaguars just couldn't convert on third down. At one point, they were 4 of 5 on third down. They finished 4 of 14, which means they were 0 of 9.
Yeah, after the first couple drives where the offense really looked balanced and efficient and did a good job of moving the ball, they got the 14 points lead. And, man, it looked like it was going – pretty good. I mean, Jeff Logman's calling for a blowout at that point.
And, anything. The minute you saw Matt Schaub come in the ballgame, things were going to change in a hurry.
They couldn't convert third downs.
No, not at all. 4 of 14. And the Jags the last 2 weeks had converted at least 7 against both Houston and Cleveland. Today, just 4 of 14. And again, 4 of 5 to start, then 0 of 9 the rest of the way. Meanwhile, especially when Schaub came in, their third down efficiency was off the charts, 8 of 17. So just a little bit under 50%. For the Houston Texans. Looking at some of the other numbers here, the Jaguars were 2 of 2 inside the red zone, and their red zone defense was pretty good, holding the Texans to only 2 touchdowns in 5 trips inside the red zone. Not bad. Jaguars, though, ran 23 fewer offensive plays than the Houston Texans. We are waiting the first word from head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff Loggeman is in the Jaguars locker room right now. So the short turnaround works for the Jaguars. They come away with their third straight win. As people probably know now, 4 now in the last 5 weeks, and they get a a nice weekend off.
Oh, and it's
what does that mean to those guys?
Oh, it's especially after a win. It feels so good. You get a little time away. You let your body heal up a little bit. We don't think any major injuries. You know, we'll wait to see what Maurice's hamstring situation is. But you get extra days. And you get to go home, spend time with the family, watch the rest of the league. And you feel good about yourself because you had success. So, it's you know, playing Thursday night can be tough, especially mentally. You have to tell yourself that you're ready to play. You can't give in to the thoughts, I'm tired, and the feeling. You got to play above that. They did that. They came out fast. They played hard. And now you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Here's the interesting part, and I'll be candid. I thought, you know, the Jaguars had won 3 of 4 coming into tonight, and they had beaten Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Brandon Weeden, backup quarterbacks. And here tonight, they're beating a backup quarterback until Schaub comes in. And I thought, okay, now once they get a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, even if he hadn't been this year, you know, we're seeing some flaws in the Jaguars. And then all of a sudden, they made two plays, one on fourth down, where they weren't matched up correctly, as you and Jeff pointed out, and then Geno Hayes' play. So you know what? This scrappy team has found a way to win 4 of their last 5 games and 3 in a row, and you can't take anything away from them, not even backup quarterbacks. This is a team that is starting to really impress people with their effort. They just don't ever quit, Tony.
I don't care who you play against. You get a win in this league. It's hard to win in the NFL.
You're right.
And they got it done, and they got it done tonight. It wasn't always pretty, but when they had to make a play, this team did it, and because they play hard. And they play harder than people they play against a lot of times.
I think we're seeing that week in and week out.
Not as talented in some areas, but guess what? That will come. And we talk about it on Monday night on our show with Pete all the time. You and I are big on culture.
Yes.
I believe in the culture that Gus Bradley, and it's starting to permeate throughout the entire franchise, the entire building. These guys have bought in. It's a different feel. I was talking to Mike Mayock on the field before. He was shocked. He said, I walk in a lot of buildings and a lot of places that are bad records and are losing, and you see guys giving up or mailing it in. He said, I walked in this building. You'd think they were 11-1.
Yeah. They've got something special going on here, folks, as you can tell, with 3 straight wins and 4 of the last 5. Jeff Loggeman is downstairs. He's got the head coach. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, Brian. Gus, congratulations. You're undefeated in prime time, and you got the first home win.
Well, you know what? I thought it was a great opportunity for our guys. We talked about, you know, the environment was going to be heightened, a little extra distractions. And I felt like we needed that next challenge as a team to go in there and just stay true to who we are, not get caught up in it. And I thought our players did a really good job of it.
And really a nice team win because the offense came out hot, hit a little bit of a dead period. Special teams hit a little bit of a dead period. Then the defense kind of was called into action because Matt Schaub came on the field.
Yeah, you know what? I think we all hit some dead periods throughout the game. But the good thing is we made a lot of plays, too. You know, the ace play to Todman, made some critical third downs, big stop by Geno, sacked by Ryan Davis. And that's what you got to do. I mean, it's an NFL game. They're a very good team, too. And it's going to go back and forth. We just got to make more plays, and we did.
How many more tricks does offensive coordinator Jed Fish have in his bag? The Ace Sanders double pass.
You know what? He's got a lot more. I'm the one that's kind of holding it back a little bit. But you know what? It was a great job by Jed with the call. You know, they were scrambling a little bit. And, you know, after a big play, that's what we kind of hoped to do. And we converted.
How about Geno Hayes at the end with the interception? He didn't have to move much to make the interception, but the awareness to make the catch and then to gain yards to get in field goal range to make it a 7-point game. I don't know if he was thinking all that, but I'm going to give him credit for it.
Yeah, if you ask him, he was, you know, and got it in the middle of the field. But now, you know what? It requires good discipline to get interceptions. And there was a low route and a high route. He stayed back. You know, some of those concepts that earlier in the year, we were jumping the low route. So for him to make a play like that, staying back, that's great.
Injuries to report, Maurice left the game with a hamstring injury. Any word on him? And Chris Przinski left with a head.
Yeah, you know what? I knew CP, he was out. I'll find out more from our trainers. I saw Mojo in the locker room. He appears to be fine, but I'll find out more from Mike later on.
All right, thank you, Gus. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and I don't know what it means, you know, in terms of his playing ability, but we just watched Maurice Jones-Drew. Nice walk. Didn't appear to be limping at all as he walked across the field to the NFL Network set. So that's one we'll follow over the next 10 days and see exactly where it is. A running back and a hamstring, you worry about things like that. Maurice, first 100-yard game of the season, first since at Indianapolis in September of last year, and 27 career 100-yard games now for Maurice Jones-Drew. And I just realized, thinking, that Ryan Davis ended both Jaguars games against the Texans.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. He had the interception of Case Keenum in Houston 12 days ago. Tonight, the sack to run out the clock on Matt Schaub. We'll take a break, come back, give you the Bud play of the game, Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, and hear from some of the guys who made it happen with Jeff in the locker room on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to EverBank Field. The Jaguars win it 27-20 over the Houston Texans, and they do it in dramatic fashion. And on defense, they come away with three sacks and two interceptions. And the leader of that defense, I think it's safe to say, Tony, that Jonathan Cyprian has become the leader of that defense. And he is with Jeff Lagerman right now.
All right, thank you, Brian. Jonathan, congratulations. First home win of the year. How good does that feel, especially in prime time?
It feels so great. You know, I'm so happy for this, for the city and, you know, in Jacksonville that they got to witness this.
You guys, as a defense, had a little change in that ball game. You went from Case Keenum, the young quarterback, to Max Schaub, the salty veteran, and certainly changed the game a little bit.
We definitely did. It definitely did. You know, they put him in at the end of the game, and he started to get kind of hot. You know, for a quarterback, of course, we didn't. We didn't prepare too much for it. But you know, he came out there, got the ball in his playmakers' hands, and threw quick games. He did a great job, and I give him all the praise for that one.
In the last 5 weeks, the number of takeaways that you guys have been able to get as a defense has really been the biggest factor. What's been the big change? I mean, because in the first 8 weeks, it just wasn't happening for you guys, but in the last five, it has.
You know, we just committed to it. You know, since I got here, you know, since rookie minicamp, OTAs, Coach Gus and the whole coaching staff talks about it's all about the ball. You know, we want to get the ball. That's the first thing before everything. Well, I mean, as far as offense taking care of it and holding on to it, no fumbles, no interceptions, and the defense always trying to go after it. We even have competitions in practice as far as who wins, the offense or the defense. So it's always about the ball. And for us to be making these plays after the second half of the season where we stopped in our bye week, I mean, it's great to see the guys doing it.
And none of them bigger than Geno Hayes making the play at the end.
I'm so happy for Geno. He was struggling a little bit with injuries for the past couple weeks. And, you know, this is a hard game, and he played through the whole thing. And he showed up at the end and made a huge play for us.
All right, thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks.
That's Jonathan Cyprian in the Jaguars locker room. Jaguars win it 27-20. Tony, you know, one area in particular that has been a problem for the Jaguars all season long on defense is that tight end. And especially when Matt Schaub came in, Graham, their tight end, at 8 for 73 yards. And he converted and got the chains moving. So when you look at that tight end spot, is that Jonathan Cyprian where he's going to have to get better in coverage? Are we talking about linebackers? How do they shore up that tight end position?
Well, tonight they were hot with the tight end when we were playing zone coverage. And it was underneath in front of the linebackers and over the top. It was more linebackers picking up the tight end as he ran through his zone. Bob Babich, the defensive coordinator, went to some man where Jonathan Cyprian was on the tight end, and he did an outstanding job of really mirroring him and covering him very well. So it's not only always the strong safety, Cyprian, who covers the tight end, because if they're in zone, it's those linebackers have to pick him up underneath, or as he goes up the seam routes and the safeties have to pick him up. And so it's a little bit different all the time. Watching man coverage tonight, though, I thought Sip did a very good job.
You know, and I asked you before Jeff picked it up, do you see him as the leader of the defense? And Paul Posluszny grabbed him when he got healthy and was playing in the preseason, and he tutored him every day. You know, how to get ready for a game, how to get ready, you know, with your body, what to eat, all those things. And I look and I see Paul Posluszny in Jonathan Cyprian with the way that he approaches the game. And I think you got a young leader on that side of the ball.
Well, I do. And let's give Paul Posluszny a ton of credit because he's a veteran guy and he's done an outstanding job all year, just not on the field but also in the locker room. And then you see it in a guy like Sip who, you know, listening to him, don't you get the feeling, Brian, that he's going to be the leader for a long time?
Yeah, and maybe I'm jumping the gun giving it to him right now with Posluszny there. But, boy, I tell you what, I've seen a lot of Jonathan Cyprian the last few weeks, and it sure does appear as if he has embraced that role.
I love him. I think he's an outstanding player. I love his attitude, his approach. And, boy, he plays the game in a physical manner.
Another young player that we're excited about, the rookie Ace Sanders, who the last couple of weeks has had 20 catches coming into today's ball game. Tonight, his first ever touchdown pass. And he is with Jeff Lagerman right now.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Ace, congratulations. One heck of a throw there on the touchdown pass.
Yes, sir. We've been practicing it, man. I was just waiting for it to get called.
In the last couple of weeks, offensive coordinator Jed Fish has gotten very creative with you. How much are you liking that?
I enjoy it a lot. I like being moved all over the field. You know, like it keeps the defense off balance. Now they got to, you know, account for me, get Cecil, get Mike, get Mojo, get a lot of guys spread out open. And then we just go from there.
You guys had the challenge this week of playing on a short week. You probably never played a game within 5 days of each other like you did tonight. How did the body feel? I mean, you're a young man now still.
I actually felt pretty good. Coach Gus took care of us the whole week. You know, we wore hats instead of helmets and stuff at practice. Had a couple walk-through tempos. He made sure that we were going to be fresh. But that turnaround was quick, though. And I just had to – I really had to realize. Like, I woke up this morning, like, man, it's Thursday and we're about to play a game. But it was interesting.
What has the conversation been like all week long? This football team hasn't won a home game since last year, November 25th. Was that part of the conversation this week?
No, the conversation was just go out there and just do what we've been doing these previous weeks. We went out there and did what we did the previous week, and the outcome was a victory. And we're happy we got it at home.
All right. Congratulations, Ace.
Thank you so much.
That's Ace Sanders, who threw a 21-yard touchdown pass in the third quarter to make the Jaguars a 24-10 lead over the Houston Texans, and he's excited.
Well, you know when the head coach's message is seeped in completely in that locker room, when everyone's asking questions, and Jeff's asking these questions about, you know, the home game and what it means, and they all say, we just do the same thing. We just go play our ball. We're just getting better. We just work hard, and Gus takes care of us. I mean, it's beautiful. You can really feel the message and the culture being developed here.
Jeff gave us the injury report with head coach Gus Bradley, brought to you by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Hey, Jeff, how about a Bueller Swiss Watch MVP? I mean, there's a lot of candidates. Maurice had his first 100-yard game in more than a year.
Touchdown pass by Ace Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, and let's not forget that you know, there were some big sacks in the ball game also. So what do you think?
Well, to me, it should go to Geno Hayes. I mean, holy cow, we were all kind of holding our breath there when Matt Schaub was just driving him up and down the field, and then Geno Hayes comes up with an absolutely huge interception. And I think that from talking just a few minutes ago to Jonathan Ciprian, he talked about Geno Hayes battling the last couple weeks, and you guys have seen it with your own eyes as well, that Geno Hayes has a knee brace on the knee, and for him to be able to gut it out and then to make a huge play and have the awareness at the end of that game to get him in a field goal range, and even as Gus Bradley said, to center it in the middle of the field, what a great job.
So the Bueller Swiss Watch MVP is Geno Hayes, and he'll receive a Bueller Swiss Watch. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Jeff, before we let you go, you know, you've been down there now 3 straight weeks with a win. You were in the locker room the first 8 weeks where they didn't win. Can you give us a sense? I mean, is it as even-keeled and level-headed as the coach tries to keep it? What's it like down there?
I'm going to kind of echo what Tony had talked about there, and that when you go to the players and you ask them about the importance of winning at home, and Ace Sanders, that conversation we just had with him, and he says, no, it wasn't talked about. I'm shocked. I mean, there's a lot of coaches that would say and emphasize, and I've been around a lot of coaches that's all they emphasize was we need to win at home, we need to win at home, we need to win at home. But that Gus is different. You know, he's different. He's not making it about winning and losing. He's making it about the process, and I think that's really the culture that he's trying to instill, is just making it a process and everything else takes care of itself. So I give the head coach a lot of credit.
I asked Tony, and I'll ask you, as a player, you play the short week, now you have the long weekend, what are you doing?
Well, it depends on how old I was.
Let's just say you're in the middle of your career and shoot for something safe. What would you be doing? You would be.
Where am I at?
Yeah. I don't want the answer to this. I don't want to get you in any trouble, Logs.
No, there's a lot of, I mean, you know, when you're younger, you're obviously feeling still young and spry, recover fast. The older you get, the more wiser you get, because you have to be just to take care of your body.
Where am I at? How old am I? I love it, Logs. Thanks so much. We appreciate it, Jeff.
All right, guys.
All right, Jeff is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Time for our Bud Light play of the game. And this one's easy. With just over 2 minutes left to play, the Jaguars had a 24-20 advantage. Matt Schaub, who they had struggled to contain since he came in the third quarter, had the ball back at his own 22. On first down, he missed a tight end out near the 30. On second down, he missed again, but this time it worked out for the Jags. Here's second and 10 with 2:16 to play. Four receivers, tight end right. Safeties are deep, corners are pressed again, and Schaub is back to throw. Pressure coming right up the middle, and here's the throw. It's intercepted! Geno Hayes has got it. He's at the 20-yard line, and he goes down. And the Jaguars get their second interception of the night. And it's set up a field goal to make it 27-20. Then Ryan Davis finishes off in style with a sack of Matt Schaub. Clock runs out. Jaguars win it. That's our Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light. The sure sign of a good time. Here we go. We want to thank Brent Martineau for his work on the sidelines today. As always, Scott Kushner keeping our broadcast humming right along. Joe Fortunato shuffling through the cards. Tony thought that you did an adequate job this evening.
You were outstanding, Joe. I mean, hats off to Joe Fortunato. I mean, the best.
Yep, absolutely. Just ask him. All right, so final thoughts here before we sign it off and give it over to JP and Marco and Jay Gray and the whole crowd downstairs.
Winning feels good. Gotta love a win. And I don't care if it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. A win is good.
All right. So the Jaguars have won 3 in a row. They are now 4-9 on the season. 2 more home games, 1 more road game. So there's plenty of opportunity for this football team. For our entire broadcast crew, here's the final score for the final time. 27-20. The Jags get their first home win in more than a year and their 3rd in a row. Have a great night and a safe weekend, everybody. You've been listening to the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night.
Jaguars postgame rolls along from the HananiaAutos.com studios inside Everbank Field. It's a happy final for the first time in over a year at home. The Jaguars over the Texans 27-20. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman.
Yes, sir.
Tell you what, the second half got a little squirrely there for a little bit when Schaub came in, but the Jags defense holds on downs, and then the interception seals it at the end. But the Jaguars have now won 4 out of 5 since the bye.
They did a good job. Took the best shot from the Texans. Held on. You figure a young team that has learned how to finish games. Last week in Cleveland, come to the end of the game, they have to make up a play. Shorts comes up with the touchdown. Here this week, come up with a big play at the end to shut it down. Hayes with the big interception. It's a team that's understanding what it takes to win football games.
It took a while to start learning how to do that, but now they know.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all about hanging around. I mean, winning the fourth quarter, and that's what they've been able to do, is hang around, have themselves in a position going into the fourth quarter to where if they can take over that part of the game or win that portion of the game, they can win the football games. That's the big deal.
With the win, the Jags are 4-9. They've won 3 straight games for the first time since the 2010 season. They're now 11-13 all-time against Houston. Swept the season series against the Texans for the 3rd time ever. They did it back in 05 and 09 as well. And of course, the Jags 4-1 since the bye. First home win since November 25th of last season. They've won 3 of the first 4 division games for the first time since 2010 as well. So a lot of good things happening in the victory tonight. Let's get to the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. Number one, Marco. A lot of impressive parts of this win, but what stands out the most in this victory tonight?
I have to say the running game. You figure Maurice Jones drew 149 yards total rushing for the team. He had 103 of that. I mean, big time. And then Henny, how many times did he use his legs today?
Kaepernick.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the running game was you know, especially against a team like this. You got Watt. You got Antonio Smith, a really massive defensive line, and they were able to put that type of running effort. I think that was really impressive.
I mentioned that the Jags have won 3 of the first 4 division games for the first time since 2010. So, who is the best team in the AFC South right now?
The Jags?
I have to still say Indy's still the best team. They're second best. Now, what happens now, they get Indy at the end of the season. That's going to be that will be able to tell the tale. But you can see a team that right now, far as this division is concerned, get a couple more pieces in next season. It's not out of reach to say, hey, you know, possible divisional champion in 2014.
Let's go there tonight. Just call me off guard with that one. Here's question 2B. How about that?
Okay, 2B.
How about since the bye? Since the week 9 bye, who's the best team in the division?
Well, I'm not sure. Indy hasn't had a lot of games within the division, so it's kind of hard to say.
Who's the best of the 4 teams since week 9?
I might still say Indy. Indy, until you knock them off, you know, you got to say them. The team they have not beaten.
4-1. Indy. Since the bye, just saying.
Well, you know, they haven't lost a game in the division, Indianapolis.
Okay. Number 3. Player of the game, I think this is pretty easy.
Maurice Jones-Drew. Yeah. You know, not only does he do it with his legs, physical running the ball, had 2 catches for 20 yards, coming up with big plays. You're seeing that he is the leader not only of the offense but of the team. When he gets going, he starts making plays. All of a sudden, it just turns the whole game around for everybody. Because when he's going, he keeps that defense off the field. They get rest. They come out. They're able to get things going. So, I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew right now, I have to say MVP of the team. And we still got 3 weeks left, 4 weeks left.
Yeah, how about that? Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. The final score from Everbank Field, the Jaguars 27, the Texans 20. When we come back, we'll take a listen to the highlights of this one. Jaguars have won 4 out of 5 since the bye. They're 4-9, sent the Texans to their 11th consecutive loss. The Jags sweep the season series against Houston. Highlights after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Final score from Everbank Field. Thursday night football goes to the Jags 27-20 over the Houston Texans. JP Shadrick with Marco Coleman. In Jaguars postgame, let's get into the Metro PCS Sexton summary, the highlights. From the Jags' fourth victory of the season, they improved to 4-9, winners of 4-5 since the bye. It started on the opening drive. What a march down the field by Chad Henne. He drives the Jags 13 plays, 80 yards, caps it off with a jump ball to Mercedes Lewis.
Two tight ends, right, one receiver left. Here's Mercedes Lewis. And he barks out the signals, drops to throw, launches the ball, and Mercedes Lewis holds it in for a Jacksonville touchdown.
7-0 the score. Two drives later, set up, it was a four-play drive, but a long pass, 41-yard pass to Mercedes Lewis. He caught the ball over two defenders to move the Jags down the field. Four plays, 86 yards. Henny to Cecil Shorts the third from 6 yards out, 14-0.
With Maurice Jones-Drew, takes the snap, plants under pressure, turns and lofts the ball. Touchdown, Cecil Shorts! His third of the season, and the Jaguars go up 13-0.
Extra point made it 14, couple of drives later. Keenum would move the Texans down the field for the first time in this game. 12 plays, 94 yards. 8-yard touchdown for Martin.
Looks at the safeties, takes the snap, drops to throw, steps, turns, fires. He's got a man. It's caught. Touchdown. Keyshawn Martin.
The Jags would get a late interception late in the second quarter. Keenum a little off the mark, and then Alan Ball makes him pay.
Steps up into the pocket, shuffles his feet. He's got room to the outside now, and turns and throws, and this one's intercepted! Picked off! Alan Ball baited the rookie quarterback and took it to the 41-yard line.
Late field goal from Scobie from 40 yards out made it 17-7 at halftime. Well, the Jaguars try to get something going in the second half. The Texans would score first. It was a Bullock 34-yard field goal, 17-10. So a one-score game, really tight throughout this second half. Boy, the trick play of all trick plays in the third quarter. Jaguars from 21 yards out. They throw a lateral to Ace Sanders, who then throws back across the field into the end zone. Jordan Todman on the receiving end for a touchdown.
First and 10 at the 21-yard line. Here's a quick throw. Hey, yes. Sanders has got it. He's throwing it back, and he's got Jordan Todman. Todman's got it for a touchdown! Jordan Todman pulls it in from Ace Sanders, and the Jaguars gain another touchdown.
So Ace Sanders has a passing touchdown before his first career receiving touchdown. The wide receiver, rookie out of South Carolina. It was 24-10. Well, Gary Kubiak decided to make a quarterback change in this game. In comes Schaub, and down the field go the Texans. They hurry up the offense, 7 plays, 76 yards, in 3 minutes and 2 seconds. It's Schaub to Graham, and it gets interesting again.
Third down, they're 5 of 11. 3 receivers and a tight end. Graham in motion. Job on third down, takes the snap and drops to throw and has some time, and dumps it off, and it's a touchdown.
Great play design. Great play design.
Graham, a 5-yard touchdown reception. 24-17. Jaguars in the lead at this point. Bullock hits a 31-yard field goal for Houston, makes it 24-20. So things are tight. The Texans are driving again. That field goal drive was 11 plays, 55 yards, and 321. Then 13 plays in, the 14th play of the drive is on fourth down. The Texans decide to go for it with about 4 minutes to go. Jaguars defense holds on fourth down.
Schaub calls for the ball and drops to throw. Three-man pressure, shuffles his feet, now being chased out of the pocket. Looking, wants to throw, turns and fires, and it is broken up. And the Jaguars defense holds.
Wow. He missed Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson was open in the at the beginning of that play, crossing the field, and Matt Schaub never saw him.
Never saw him. Jags would go four and punt the ball away, though. Two plays later on the next drive, Geno Hayes steps in front of an errant pass from Schaub.
Safeties are deep, corners are pressed again. Schaub is back to throw. Pressure coming right up the middle, and here's the throw. It's intercepted! Geno Hayes has got it. He's at the 20-yard line, and he goes down. And the Jaguars get their second interception of the night.
Back-to-back big plays for the defense. Scobie hits a 39-yard field goal. Makes it a touchdown game, 27-20. Orion Davis' sack was the final play of the game, and the Jaguars are a winner. 27-20 tonight over the Houston Texans. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Jaguars are now 4-9 with a win. They've won 4 of 5 since the bye. The Texans have now dropped 11 in a row after starting a 2-0 record this year, the longest losing streak in franchise history. When we come back, Marco Coleman back with us. We'll break down the offensive and defensive players of tonight's game. Jaguars win on Thursday Night Football, 27-20 over the Texans. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Happy final at Everbank Field for the first time in a long time. 27-20, the Jaguars over the Texans. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Well, not since the bye, at least. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Mm. What a night, huh?
Oh, heck of a night.
Great crowd out and a great weather. And from the start, first drive, Jaguars go right down the field, get a touchdown, kind of set the tone early, back and forth. You heard Gus Bradley say it, you know, every phase had some issues again tonight, but they fought through it in all phases and got things done.
And you figure that's been a theme since they came out of the bye week. They've been able to get started fast offensively, going down within the first couple of drives in pretty much each one of these games and scoring touchdowns. You got to give a lot of credit to Fish. Not only does he have those first 15 plays that he scripted that do a heck of a job of getting them in a position to score, but the variety of the plays, you know, he keeps those opposing teams on their heels now. You figure when they go to game plan and get ready, they got a lot of stuff now to spend some time on to figure out what's going to happen. Is Maurice Jones-Drew going to throw a pass? Is A. Sanders going to throw a pass? What are we going to do against Mercedes Lewis? You figure that was a great play call to get Mercedes Lewis out, you know, out wide versus a cornerback. They found a mismatch. You figure 6'6 versus 5'10, you don't take that all day.
No, they're at the 1 yard line. They just got Mojo down to the one. Maybe they'll hand it to him again, give him a touchdown.
I mean, that's the thing. You figure defenses, when they go in, they start to put the game plan together. They spend a lot of time now on a lot of stuff that they may only see once or twice, but you got to prepare for it. You know, those gimmicks and the different misdirection and handoffs and things. So now they've done things that's putting a lot of pressure on these opposing defenses.
We've gone over this, the player of the game, of course, Maurice Jones-Drew. He's got to be the offensive player of the game, too. Mm-hmm. Really set the tone. First 100-yard game since the Indy game at Indy last year. Certainly the first of this season. He's been building some momentum as the season has gone on, though, and it really came to a head tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he, like I said, he's the rock of this team. You figure you listen to him, and he's been on that even keel right there with Gus Bradley. He's sacrificed. He's not playing maybe a lot. They're using Todman a lot. He's accepting his role. And I think with that and him doing those type of things, he's probably the most prominent player on the team. And he's accepting that role. That's feeding on to these young guys. And they see his work ethic. He's coming out. He's smashing. He sets the tone. He establishes the physicality that I'm sure that Gus Bradley is preaching on being the more physical team. He comes out and he's running as physical as he's ever run, you know, at least in recent history anyway.
Sure. Well, yeah, that long run where, you know, he was brought down by a corner, but, he got loose and broke some tackles and made a big play.
That's been the deal. That's his M.O. Yep. You get him in that open field versus those defensive backs, he's going to be a tough guy to bring down.
Defensive player of the game, a few candidates tonight. Ball had an interception. Hayes had one as well, really, to seal the game. But who you got?
Well, you know, it's kind of tough. You know, it was distributed all across the defense. You figure they were doing a heck of a job the first half, but that second half, once they gave up that long drive, the 94-play drive that when Keenum was in. That kind of, you know, from that point on, the defense was a little shaky. They were able to move the ball. They took advantage of the mistakes by those quarterbacks by throwing the ball up. They gave up over 400 yards, though, as a defense. So there's still some things there defensively they needed to get cleaned up. But overall, when they needed to make a play, they came up with the big plays.
Posluszny led the way with 13 tackles for the Jags. Cyprian had 10 tackles tonight. Guy, in his first NFL start, had 8. Grotz with 5. Branch had another sack tonight. Another windmill dance for Andre Branch in this ball game too.
Yeah, that's a deal. What was it? 3 sacks, 2 interceptions. You know, are pretty and that, you know, really good times those plays were made.
When we come back, we'll go into these statistics a little bit more. Jaguars a winner, 27-20. Jags are now 4-9. They've won 4 of 5 since the Week 9 bye. The Texans are reeling. Be a long flight to Houston. Long, long weekend for the Texans brass as well. They're 2-11. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate tonight. On your way home after a win, 27-20, the Jaguars over the Texans. Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Let's get into the stats, Marco. You mentioned earlier the total yardage. Yeah, you're right. Texans, 406 yards of offense. Jaguars with 281. You go down to the penalties, though, and Houston really hurt themselves all night with penalties. A couple of long interference calls, some personal fouls in this game. 14 penalties, 177 penalty yards for the Houston Texans. By the way, the league record for penalty yards in a game by a single team is 212. They weren't that far off the pace.
They weren't far at all.
Jags had 8 for 57. But the Jags took advantage of those mistakes by a team that's reeling right now and came away with a W.
And that's the thing I think even Jeff or Tony made mention that if you go back a few weeks, that was the Jacksonville Jaguars
making those
silly mistakes, the pass interference calls or the jumping off sides and, you know, things of that nature. This was a very, very reckless and careless game that the Texans they played. And fortunately for the Jaguars, those penalties allowed them to keep the Jaguars in a position to make plays to, you know, inevitably win this football game.
Individual stats, will start passing. Chad Henne, 12 of 20, 717 yards, a couple of touchdowns, a rating of 81.9. And now for the second straight game, a non-quarterback has thrown a touchdown pass. Ace Sanders, 21-yard touchdown to Jordan Todman. And before last Sunday, there had never been a non-quarterback throw a touchdown pass in Jaguars history. Now it's happened back-to-back weeks.
Well, you know, it's ultimately what Gus Bradley has, remember, when you hear and you listen to him talk about the team, and he's incorporating everyone in the win. I mean, like you said, you mentioned who was the defensive player of the game. I mean, all those guys done their jobs, and that's been the thing, that the theme. Do your job, and we'll win. And not being selfish. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of quarterbacks out there would be a little upset that these two guys, you know, running back and a wide receiver, throwing touchdowns when that's supposed to be my ball. It's supposed to be my touchdown. But the unselfishness, getting everyone involved, I mean, that's the thing to when you talk about winning football games, having a winning team, that definitely is the way to get that done.
And going back to Henny's stat line, I mean, 12 of 27 is not sexy at all. It's a couple of touchdowns, which is great. But you know what? He managed this game. He made the right decisions, scrambling a few times for long yardage, getting down when he needed to, threw the ball away when he had to, didn't make any real bad mistakes, sacked only one time in the game. Mm-hmm. And he managed this game, and that's been the case. He's doing what this team needs him to do, right?
Exactly, and that's his deal. You know, Henne, when you talk about him versus Gabbert, he is a better manager of the football game, doesn't make the big mistakes. And today you saw an aspect of his game that we never thought we would see, is him running the football. Yeah. He figured on that, and one, he actually lowered the shoulder. He recognized where the sticks were to get that first down, and instead of sliding, put the shoulder down and try to get it. I don't think he got it, but he sure tried.
Yeah, he was about a yard short. He was doggone close.
But he tried, though, man. Hey. He said he laid it, you know, and that's the thing. He's giving it up for the team. You see that all across this whole football team, a team that has a losing record, They know they're probably not going to playoffs, but they're playing as if they're in the position to go to the playoffs. So it's a testament to what the coach is being able to do. You know, big hats off to, you know, Gus Bradley and the whole coaching staff.
For the record, they're not eliminated yet.
They're not eliminated.
I'm just saying.
But we want to be real. Let's you know,
real.
I don't want to, you know, send smoke.
I don't know. Up, I'm me. I'm up, just saying. Yeah. The stats don't lie.
They don't lie. Maurice They're not Jones. Mathematically out of it.
Rushing stats. Maurice Jones drew 14 carries, 103 yards, first 100-yard game of this season, first 100-yard game since the Indy game at Indy early last year, 7.4 per carry, but the 48-yard run was really something to see tonight.
I mean, you know, whenever he's a vocal point of the offense, they've had a lot of success. And one of the things that we can bring up, too, that we haven't mentioned is zero turnovers.
That's
for the
correct.
Offense. That is major. And I think by being able to hand that ball off, and you can say that about these running backs, they haven't been fumbling the football. They take licks, hold on to the ball. Henny's done a good job of not throwing interceptions. You know, that's the thing. First win the turnover battle, and you get yourself in a really good position to win football games.
Todman had 7 carries, 14 yards. As a team, the Jags ran for 149 yards. That's the high water mark this year on the ground. Receiving, as you would expect, not a huge day, but Sanders 3 for 26, Brown 3 for 16, Lewis 2 for 42 in the touchdown. One of those was a 41-yarder, the great catch. Jones drew 2 for 20, Shorts 2 for 13. He was targeted 6 times, relatively quiet. And Todman, that one reception from Ace Sanders for the touchdown. Those are the passing stats today. On the other side, quickly for the Texans, Schaub 17 of 29, 198 yards. Keenum 16 of 29, 159 yards. There will be debate, of course, in Houston about that. Johnson 13 receptions, 154 yards receiving tonight. Graham and Martin had touchdown receptions. They held Tate in check, only 83 yards total for the Texans on the ground. Tate 14 carries, 53 yards. When we come back, well, there's no NFL scoreboard. There's one college game. We'll get to that.
Bridgewater.
And have a little more about the Jaguars' win tonight. 27-20, Jaguars win it over the Houston Texans. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by GEICO. GEICO has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much GEICO's military discounts could save you. Go to GEICO.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local GEICO agent today or tomorrow, whatever day this is. It's already tomorrow, but the Jags won today, 27-20.
Or yesterday,
last night, whatever. 27-20 over the Texans on Thursday Night Football. It's Friday morning, J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman on Jaguars postgame. What a win tonight. Let's get into the score. There's no scoreboard in the NFL. One college game of note tonight, well, one game period, Louisville at Cincinnati. Louisville winner in overtime, 31-24. Bridgewater tonight, 23 of 37 passing, 255 yards, 3 touchdowns, including one real crazy one where he ran around in and out of the pocket, back leg, off balance, touchdown pass, and one interception. You know, this is another nice win. It's 27-20. Those are always nice. The wins have been close. There have been parts of every win, though, that have not been pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Where are some of those spots tonight in this game, Marco?
I would say offensively on third down. They didn't do a good job. 29% on the third downs. They got to convert those third downs against really good football teams that aren't going to give up 177 yards and penalties. You got to be able to control the ball. And I would say offensively that would probably be one area where they didn't do real well. And then, you know, I would say defensively versus the pass. And they gave up entirely too many yards once Schaub came in. You had another wide receiver that put up a lot of yards. You're going to see another big-time wide receiver next week with Buffalo. And has the same capabilities of being able to put up over 100 yards by himself. So stopping those big-time wideouts has also become an issue.
Buffalo now 4-8. We'll preview them in just a moment. The Jags are now 4-9. They've won 4 out of 5 since the bye, and get their first win at home since Thanksgiving weekend a year ago. We're going to take our final timeout. When we come back, final thoughts from Marco Coleman. Quick preview of the Buffalo Bills coming in here. Boy, it's like 10 days from now, isn't it? A long time.
Yeah.
The 15th. Great. Jags get a weekend off. Final segment of Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by PRI Productions. Happy final on Thursday Night Football. The Jaguars 27, Texans 20. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. And by the way, news coming out of the postgame. Maurice Jones-Drew was live on the NFL Network on set postgame. That's a good sign. He spoke to the local media after the game as well. He said his hamstring and his leg would be fine, and he'll play next week against Buffalo. Well, he's got, what, 10 days to do it.
2 weeks, yeah, no doubt.
So that's a really good news for the Jags moving forward with back-to-back home games coming up. Buffalo Bills, 4-8, going into this weekend's set of games. They're in last place in the AFC East, but they still have some playmakers up there in Buffalo.
Oh, definitely. You got C.J. Spiller. You got a homecoming for the quarterback. Manuel. I mean, yeah, it's definitely going to be a challenging game. I mean, you figure the Jaguars over the course of these few weeks when they're winning these games and they're playing against teams that a lot of them have the same makeup as far as youth and new coaches, unproven players, a lot of rookies. So it's another challenge, which I think they match up really well. Hey, you know, another opportunity to get another win at home.
The Red Hot Jags.
Uh-oh, sizzle.
Watch out.
Sizzle.
One 4 out of 5 since the bye. The Jags are 4-9. Marco, we'll see you next week. Hey, next week, Mark Brunell's induction.
My man, Mark B. Congratulations. I was a little premature probably about like a month ago for his induction.
You just wanted him in
there. I just wanted him in there. Yeah, my man, Mark Brunell.
Senior VP of Communications for the Jags is Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jaguars Radio, Mike Dorwart. Manager of Jags Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco are the producers. Anchor of Jaguars pregame is Kevin Rafuse, and Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For Marco Coleman, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli, Brian Sexton, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night and good morning. Once again, the final score, Jaguars 27, Texans 20, on the Jaguars Radio Network.